chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Lower North Bank Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures, whack, 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 down 59. NASDAQ futures down 160. Dow futures down 553. That's not good. We have concerns. It's interesting, as Matty spotted in his email, I'm sure. I sent out a letter to everybody on the show this weekend warning them about this big outfit, a huge investor, retail investor in China having these issues, and all of a sudden, something like 350, 400, 500 billion in debt, maybe, what's the difference? All of a sudden having trouble, and now all of a sudden, place is called Evergrande, but maybe it's not so Evergrande, is that fair? Just saying. It's snowed under by its crushing debt of $300 billion. Evergrande is so huge that the fallout from any failure could hurt not just China's economy. Contagion. How's that for? We haven't heard that one in a while, have we? Contagion could spread to markets beyond China. Now, we heard contagion when we had the problem in Crete, right? We had contagion when we had the Russian thing, right? We've had contagion once in a while. And all of a sudden, there's no contagion. Everything's okay. But we mentioned on several times. That nobody seems to talk about this dollar-denominated Chinese debt that was a big issue. For those that don't even know what that is, you say, wait a minute, what the hell is a dollar-denominated Chinese debt? Well, what it is the Chinese government, for some reason, at one time, well, I don't know, maybe for a lot of reasons, decided to say, okay, we're not going to let our people borrow that much more. They've borrowed enough, so you're not going to be able to go through the normal process where you essentially borrow in yuans, and people here from the U.S. and other places have to essentially go through the normal currency process, which is always kind of difficult in China to begin with, to trade dollars for yuan and then essentially lend money to people in yuan. Well, they said, no, we're not going to do that. So what ended up happening is they said, we'll just take the dollar loans directly, hence the dollar-denominated Chinese debt. And was it 3 years ago? Two, three, 4 years ago? We had a series of shows where I kept mentioning that some of this stuff I was reading was becoming non-performing. And then all of a sudden, I haven't heard boo about it for a long time. I've checked, looked easily. I haven't dug into the deep, dark depths of the dark web or any place, because I don't know how to do that. I haven't heard boo about it. So it's either gotten better, which I sincerely doubt. And it's not just dollar denominated. I'm sure there's euro denominators, probably some in euros, and there might even be some in yen, and probably a lot in yen. These are really interesting issues when you think about it, because, obviously it was the weekend, and the Bears were on. By the way, are they going to Super Bowl?
The odds would be very, very much against them.
I don't see how you can say that. I mean, they're 1-1 now. 1-1, right?
They're 1-1. Yes. Off the schneid.
It's off the schneid. That game last night was something, huh?
That was a terrific football game that was worth staying up for, and I did.
Me too.
And I actually had the Ravens getting 3.5 points. And didn't look good when they throw a pick six right at the beginning of the game. You're going, oh no, here we go. And then Jackson threw another interception in the end zone later in the first quarter. And so it really put him behind the eight ball, but the Chiefs could not stop their running game at all, whether it was him running or handed to the running backs or when they ran little trick plays. I mean, they couldn't stop them. And you're not going to stop the Chiefs very much either. So it was a back and forth, a great game, and Chiefs had a late fumble, and that was it.
Yeah, two amazing quarterbacks. I mean, they're really something, both of them. And both
in completely different ways.
Yeah. Well, they both can move.
they both can move, but Lamar Jackson is one of the best runners I've ever seen. He looks like Gale Sayers at quarterback.
I was going to say, some of the moves he made were Gale Sayers, like where you guys coming at you from one side and you just kind of stop and he goes by you.
Yeah, and he keeps doing that and is able to accelerate, stop without missing a beat. If I tried that once, I'd probably blow out my knee. And guys are just flying right by him. Mahomes can move a little bit too, but not nearly as fast. But he's got the better arm, and you know, reads defenses better. And they're both just fun to watch, and both great.
Yeah, I mean, he really, when you see somebody do that, and somebody just stop, and you go right by him, it's like, what did I just do? I mean, he stopped, and I couldn't.
I know. Mahomes also has the best weapons, and if you gave Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. I think that would be a big advantage too. I mean, he's going to like four string running backs and receivers no one's ever heard of.
What about the other tight end? He had that 40 some yard run. It was a tremendous run.
Yeah, he's a good tight end. The Andrews for the Ravens, but Travis Kelce.
No, I'm talking about the second string guy
for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's the one who had the 40 yard run after the one touchdown.
No, that was Kelce.
No, it wasn't. It was the other guy.
I missed that play.
I don't think it was him because the guy came from, geez, what do you need Kelce out of field for when you got this guy? No, he was, I thought it was the other guy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was
about.
In the first half.
If it was in the first half, it's possible I missed it. But Kelce had a 45-yard touchdown where he broke like three tackles, made two guys miss, and then bowled a guy over at the 5-yard line.
Maybe
that
was, I thought it was the other dude might have caught something. I mean, they're basically talking about how the other guy, when Kelce was off, they didn't lose that much because this other guy's pretty darn good, whoever he is. The Bears look decent at a tight end spot too. On yesterday, they've got this guy Kmet is probably as good as most. I don't know if he's Kelce, but he's
well. No one's Kelce. He's a cut above. And then you have Waller in Las Vegas for the Raiders. That's probably the second best tight end in the league. And then you go a step down, and then you've got like Andrews with Baltimore and a couple other guys. Noah Fant in Denver is good. And then maybe you get to the Kmets. Now, you know, George Kittle would be in the upper tier as well. Kmet has all the talent in the world. He's never really had a quarterback, so I'm hoping that him and Fields can develop something here, and he can really show his true colors, because I think he's really talented.
And Gronk is still good if you give him like 2 weeks off before he plays, like for a playoff game or something.
Yeah, Gronk has four touchdowns in the first two games.
Yeah.
Guys have been unbelievable.
But he's not going to do 17 games in four playoff games.
No, God, no. You got to rest him here and there. He'll have some weeks where he only gets a couple targets, and, you know, that's fine.
I love that commercial where he has the bad cell phone thing, and all of a sudden he's playing again.
That is a good commercial.
I see your girlfriend got a job.
Which of many?
Paige Spearney.
Okay, she's got many jobs.
Well,
Instagram influencer. She's a what is it? One of the gambling site contributors.
Well, that's the thing. She's this new gambling site.
She did some Golf Channel stuff.
I can't. Well, she was a golfer for a little while.
Still a very good golfer. Not pro, but very good.
Well, she's good enough to get in the Golf Digest. Let's put it this way. If she didn't look good, she wouldn't be in the magazine.
Probably not, but she would beat me by 15 strokes.
So would a lot of people in our magazines. That's just true. Anyway, I can't figure this thing out. You're supposed to go there, and there's a drive-thru, and then they do... There's one at Sportsman's Park, one up north. I can't get over this gambling. The idea that we would have people enticing you to bet on games during the... And we think this is not going to filter down to players and coaches and stuff. What makes this group of people different than they were like 40 or 50 years ago? Well, one thing is they're making a lot more money.
Yeah.
So I suppose that has something to do with it. But still, you never have enough.
Well, the difference is now they get a piece of it.
The players?
No, the league. So, yes, the players. The league gets a piece of everything now. All the leagues do. And so they're all for it. That's why the Cubs are opening up a sports book at Wrigley.
And they don't get a piece of every one of these people, do they?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if
so all of a sudden they get a piece of Caesar's winnings.
I'm not saying they get a piece of Caesar's winnings. I'm saying that forever it was separate, and now the leagues are in bed with these. I mean, it's clear they sponsor everything.
I think they're in bed for
they're in bed with FanDuel. They're in bed with DraftKings. They're in bed with all these guys, and they love it.
Well, they're in bed with...
And the Cubs are opening up their own sports book, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, they're definitely in bed for sponsorship, but I bet they're not as much as Viagra was before it went off.
Or they're the new Viagra, and it's the same.
What's the new Viagra?
No, I'm saying sports betting has become the new Viagra, and they're making the same
amount of money. Right, but I don't think that they're part of when you lose and you pay 110 and only get 100 back, or that's when you win, or when you lose, you just lose the 110. They're not getting a piece of that. They're getting a sponsorship.
I don't think they're getting a piece of that right now. They're getting a huge sponsorship out of it, and they're basically saying, you know, we'll support you guys and let you guys do your thing and put your advertisements in the stadium, and do all these campaigns with you. I mean, the Bulls pre and post game show tells you the betting lines over and over before the game, and right. then at halftime they tell you the live betting lines and how the lines have moved. I mean, they're heavily involved, and yeah, I'm not saying they're getting a piece of the VIG right now, but they're damn close. And the Cubs are about to get a piece of the VIG when they open up a sports book at Wrigley.
I'll bet there's no way they get a ownership of the ownership gets together. I mean, boy, I just hope not. Anyway.
But you ask, what's the difference between now and 50 years ago? I'm saying these guys are getting a huge cut of it, whereas 50 years ago they didn't.
All right, so it's still going to stop. Without casting any aspersions, making anything politically incorrect, these football players, I'm going to say more than the baseball players. I mean, we have a gentleman on the show, Lou Michaels, not that we drop any names out there, that used to be an agent. He said one of the reasons of the ridiculous contract that football has compared to other people is that as soon as these guys go on strike, within 4 weeks, they're stone cold broke, half of them. So the idea that just because these guys make a lot of money, they don't need any, quote, I use the term in parentheses, need any more in terms of gambling can't get to them is really ignorant, in my opinion. Just saying. I mean, it's just
I'm with you.
Just an opinion. I mean, Lou says that's the reason why they go on strike for a couple times. They go on strike for like a month and they can't handle it. They want to borrow money from the agent, like, you know, $500,000 to get them through a month type of thing. Or, you know, a couple hundred thousand at least. I mean, it's insane how much those guys live on the edge, or a lot of them do, considering how much they make. But anyway, we're not going to stop societal problems. Anyway, back to China. Page two, Mitty, because I know you're all over this China thing. But you have, you know, it's not like you're not on the news. You are. When I say on it, read it and retain it. This is really weird because it's, now this is from a guy, Frederick Kempe. It's in on CNBC. And I did not put all this stuff together. But he says the Chinese President Xi Jinping, is that his name? Is making the most audacious geopolitical bet of the 21st century. For China, that bet has many faces: a rapid rollback of economic liberalization, a crackdown on individual freedoms, an escalation of global influence efforts, and a military buildup all at the same time. At the same time, President Xi has launched a push to share the virtues and successes of the Chinese authoritarian model with the rest of the world. So he's basically doing what we thought Russia was going to do, and these guys are actually doing it, according to this guy. Anyway, it's pretty, says that and this is kind of odd. I mean, last week we had all the, today the market's getting its ass kicked, so far anyway. Last week we had, or the last several weeks, I've talked a little bit about how they're really putting the clamps on these casinos in where the hell are they in same place they are over there, Manny. It's right outside of Hong Kong, an area that used to be independent, but isn't.
Oh yeah, in Taipei, is that?
No, it's not Taipei.
What the hell is it?
I don't know. We'll think of it. One of us will.
I know this too.
So do I. You would have, if I wouldn't have mentioned it, you would have just come out with it, if I didn't tell you first, because it's within. Anyway, but they to the point where they want to have a state, like a regulator, like they put regulator.
It's the, what is it, Macau?
Macau,
yeah. I always say that wrong.
It's like having regulators standing around the S&P pit when you never needed them before, right? Like, people can't police their own open outcry.
Yep.
Give me a break. So they want to put regulators in the casinos. Okay. I mean, what is it? Is that another fart in church thing or what? But this, a head-spinning series of seemingly disparate moves over recent months add up to nothing less than a generational wager that Xi can produce the world's dominant power for a foreseeable future by doubling down on a state-controlled economy, party-disciplined society, nationalistic propaganda, and far-reaching global influence campaigns. What do you suppose that means? Does that mean they're not going to send a boatload of people over here to college? Does that mean they're going to watch them even closer and have, like, cells over here watching their people and then ours on top of it? I mean, Where do you think this is going? I can't get the blinders off far enough to know what they're really trying to pull here. At least in terms of the people that are here. Because I don't know, you know more younger people than me, since you are younger. I get the idea of the people in Chinatown, the people I knew that work for some of the exchanges and so forth. Those people are so American, they've been here so long, they want no part of this guy or anything he's doing over there, unless they have family. But it seems like there's this total undercurrent that we've heard from a bunch of people, that the students that are over here, in which there's thousands and thousands of them, right, are being like watched all the time, either from there or from here.
Yeah.
And how does that even go on? I mean, what do you do? You put some people over there that are supposed to be students, but they aren't. They just sit in their dorm room and keep tabs on all the other people that are from China? I mean,
it makes you wonder. I wouldn't know, but it almost sounds like they're spies or something.
I think that would be the term, yeah. First of all, if it is happening, what do you do about it? Do you do anything about it, or do you just make it worse, or do you not have anybody? What do you have at the University of Illinois if there's no Chinese people in there?
Well, considering it's such a huge part of their enrollment and their money, that would be devastating.
I would say, yeah.
Or they'd have to start allowing some Illinois people at U of I.
Well, why would you want to do that for less money?
Yeah, when the Illinois was my wife's dream school, and she was a very good student, straight A's, wasn't valedictorian, but straight A's, good testing.
Well, plus
score.
She's hot.
Prom queen, and
like I said,
and still got denied, and so she went to Iowa and had a great time, and now she roots against U of I.
Now, wait a minute. So she's prom queen. Don't tell me she dated the quarterback.
She didn't, but
I don't see her with the left tackle.
No, no, she was a very good student, and you would think any school would love to have her. And she got denied at Illinois because they deny Illinois kids and take people from out of state or out of country, like we're talking about. And so she went to Iowa, and they said, we'd love to have you, and the out-of-state tuition. And,
yeah, I know.
And there you go.
And now she's got a football team.
And I think your niece is a similar, I assume, would have loved to have gone to Illinois and ended up at Wisconsin.
Well, she applied for, I think she was an engineer. I think she might have applied for business or something and got roundly flushed. And they said, well, you can apply like for agriculture and get in that way. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, thanks.
So she ended up at Wisconsin. But, the best Illinois story, well, not best, because obviously when they don't take a valedictorian of a girl in state, that's pretty low. Besides, I mean, Jill would be a credit to any place, for God's sake. So Audrey's friend, somehow he gets in for science, and I think he's in physics or something that you can't exactly have barroom conversations about. I think he gets straight A's, got one A minus, maybe, or something. So he applies for the graduate program and he gets flushed. How the hell?
Wow.
So then when one of the professors said, well, what do you mean he got flushed? He hires him back to do research, and now he's like taking some classes and he's teaching undergrad, even though they wouldn't let him in the grad program.
Hmm.
You couldn't write fiction like that, could you?
No.
It's so bizarre, man, when things go on so long. It becomes such a piece of the vernacular, such a piece of society, that people don't even understand something's wrong. And when I say wrong, we're probably going to get some pushback on this. The idea that colleges give scholarships is insane. It's absolutely insane. It's like you and I going into the food store and saying, well, we want to buy some hamburger. By the way, how much dough you got? Well, Maddie goes, hey, I'm huge. I work for this place. My wife does this and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. It's $8 a pound. Thomas walks in. He goes, well, I'm a struggling artist. Well, it's $3 a pound. I mean, that is unconscionable. Nobody would even think that anything like that makes any sense whatsoever. At colleges, instead of having a price in which they perform a service like anybody else, your barber can give you a break if he wants, I guess. If he's known you his whole life and he knows you're out of work, he can say, this one's on me.
Sure.
Everybody gets that. But the idea that you have a published price essentially for rich people and then you partial out essentially monies to other people, why is that their job? You would think that they would, Notre Dame, instead of being $70,000 if you got dough, and 50 if you got a little bit less, or 40, or if they want you from Africa or someplace, or any place for that matter, China, to round out the student body, well, then maybe it's 10 or something. Well, how does that would be so unconscionable in any place else in this world, the car dealer, you know, anybody. You know, why don't they just set the price at which they are going to perform the service that they perform? And if somebody is going to go get a scholarship, it should be up to other people. Why should I have to give my money to Notre Dame for them to dish out scholarships? Why don't I give it to a place that maybe does that, a charitable organization, that now can look at the real price at Notre Dame, which should be like 45 or something, because that's probably the average people are paying, and the real price of every college, and I'll say, well, Matt, if you want to go to Notre Dame, it's 45, and by the way, you can't afford 45. But maybe the Notre Dame Club of Chicago, which is a charity group, maybe they'll give you 10. That's their. How did this ever get blended together? I mean, I know you're going to say, you know, what's wrong with it? It works or doesn't work or whatever, but it's insane. And if you look at any kind of economic model, it makes no sense at all, does it?
Makes no sense at all. It's not right.
No, but I mean,
the healthcare industry is the same way.
Yeah. Well, you got this insurance, we charge you this. You don't have insurance? Oh, man, I get to charge you this.
Yep.
You know, by the way, you don't have it? Well, that's too bad. And we're going to send a collection agency after.
Nor do you really even know what it's going to cost before you go in there.
Or after.
Right.
Well, you might know after. How many months after?
Well, and then after, you get, you know, everyone knows to ignore the first couple bills.
Yeah.
Because your third bill, they'll say, fine, if you pay, we'll knock 20% off.
Well, but it's so endemic. I mean, if I were to say that in front of 20 people, I say, well, "What's the matter with you? Why shouldn't it be Notre Dame's job to give scholarships? Why should it be? I mean, what are they doing? So they have this massive operation that one part of it provides education, another part of it hounds people for money relentlessly. Then they have a huge organization with the highest paid guy in the place manages their portfolio. Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, instead of just having a regular old business where you just, the people show up, they pay this, you pay your teachers that, and you're done without all this other crap. Or is it just me?
I'm with you.
But, you know, that's the way by the way, she liked Iowa, and Iowa's got a much better football team.
Yeah, much better just sort of sports program in general than Illinois, pretty much across the board, at least consistently. Although Illinois basketball appears to be back. They were good last year, even though they lost early in the tournament. But Iowa was, too.
Yeah, but then Illinois lost their guys.
And then they lost their guys, yeah. But yeah, she had a great time there. And any Big Ten school that you go to, you're going to have fun and a good experience. You have the football Saturdays. It's a, you know, big school. Meet a lot of new people, so on and so forth. Plus, half of every school in the Big Ten is Chicago people, so you sort of feel at home no matter which one you go to.
Well, when we had the softball tournaments, we needed four young ladies instead of two. We were always scrambling at the last minute. It seemed like every girl we ended up with, either from Patrick or whoever, was from Iowa, and I don't think I've ever met. Well, first, they were all hot, which I didn't notice. I mean, I'm too old to notice. They were bright and pleasant. I mean, I don't think I've ever met anybody from Iowa I didn't like that went to school there.
Yeah. It's, it's mostly people from the western suburbs. It's closer to go there than it is in a lot of cases. I mean, door to door from Naperville to Iowa City is 3 hours. So it's
how far into Iowa is Iowa City?
It's like an hour and 10 minutes.
Now, is that further or not as far as Ames?
It's not as far. Ames is by Des Moines, so you're going all the way to the middle of the state.
Okay.
Iowa City is only an hour in from
the border. Iowa City the capital?
No, Des Moines is the capital. Iowa City used to be the capital, like in the 1800s.
So that's when they, gave the land grant company. When they gave all these companies or these places these land grant, I'm asking a question. You probably have no clue. Did the land grant come from the one state did it and they all did it, or is that a federal land grant?
Good question.
That's what they call like these Big Ten schools in Nebraska and those kinds of places. They're all the University of the State. They call them land grant schools. They were all given a whole bunch of land.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they all, if one state decided to do it, or maybe the federal government allowed it and every state did it or something. They call them land grant schools. I don't know. One of these days when we have not so much going on in the world, but today obviously S&Ps are now down 65. So, the Chinese banks are getting hammered. bonds are flying up, which, you know, is a flight to quality here, but we've got, in the Dow, let's see who's in most trouble here. Boeing's down 450. I don't know why they would be in trouble. Caterpillar's down $5. We got Home Depot down almost $5.
Well, what I'm reading is that, and we have to go to break here in a minute, but what I'm reading is that, this Everglade in China, that's like, it could be like our Lehman. I mean, this could be a huge thing.
Well, they're not, well, in terms of size, yes, but they're, well, $300 billion in debt. You think they don't reach into every bank in China?
Yeah.
And you know our guys got their fingers in there somewhere. Goldman Sachs down $10, $3.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's, I was, get a load of this. I don't know if the what do you call it, still here. Let me see real quick on CNBC. In the midst of this mess, what I just read to you about all the stuff that's going on over there, plus this. Let me see if the headline is still here. I think it was Goldman Sachs giving you nine stocks you're supposed to buy in China. Why the hell would anybody buy anything in China right now? I mean, what possessed you to do that? and you see these guys on like Fast Money and on CNBC all the time? And you know, and I watch them. I like these guys. Oh, here's Goldman Sachs. Now you have to be a subscriber. Goldman Sachs picked six Chinese chip stocks, some with over 50% upside. You would do this? Why? Why would I do this with my client's money? I mean, I guess I'm just too conservative for this. By the way, we've been busy, man. I've got several new, really, really nice clients recently that have decided, hey, I can do something different. I just hope we can get them in here and get moving before today. But, you know, whatever you're doing, just telling you, real quick plug here. Whatever you're doing, whether you're with me or with anybody else that is going to help you how to do some hedging on your portfolio if you think you want to pull some risk off the table. If you hem and you haw and you hem and you haw and you're going to change brokers or anything, you're 2 weeks away. This is not 10 years ago when you can call me up and fill out a form this morning and I have the account open this afternoon. Nobody can do that anymore. We're going to check you out. We're going to do everything all kinds of. It's at least a week. So the idea that you can pull the trigger in one day when you decide the world has changed. No, good luck with that. I mean, one group I do some business before, the Nigerian family office, I talked to some of those people last week. I said, look, do me a favor. Even if you're thinking about it, open up an account. Get it going, and then you don't ever have to fund it. Or you can put $20 in it, and 30 years from now, you still got $20 in it. You don't have to do anything. But you need to get it open. So if you want to make a decision, the last thing you want now, if we do this, which I don't anticipate, we do this 3, 4, 5 days in a row, you got nobody to talk to. And you're going to take this, I got it all figured out, my free commission, I'm doing this all myself. You know what? That gets sour real fast because whatever job you have, as I learned this, Manny, there's a paint guy out by Audrey, and she's doing something. So I walk in the paint store just to check out prices because, you know, I used to paint and do all kind of stuff when I remodel houses. Yeah, he goes, I know, you're the chief. And I go, yeah. He goes, I'm one of your clients. I go, really? Which, well, of course, I knew him from one of the seminars. I did not know he had signed up, by the way, which is bad. He goes, why don't we make a deal? And I go, what's the deal? And he goes, you don't paint any houses, and I don't try and manage my money. You know, so I said, you know what? That's a deal. And trust me, you're not as good at this as I am. I mean, 40 years gives you something. I mean, you think you are, people tell you you are, you watch TV, they give you all the tips in the world. Good luck with that. Anyway, S&P futures now down 70. NASDAQ futures down 222. This is bad. We'll be back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now, right now. Low North Bay Stocks and Jocks. Tom Howie's Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures down 70. Yeah, 70. Nasdaq futures down 221. Dow futures down 576. Now, we were just down more than 600. Come back a little bit, but I don't. Every stock in the Dow is down pretty heavily. Every stock that's open in transportation is down and down heavily. When I say heavily, Goldman Sachs down 10. We got American Express down 4. We got Boeing down 480. Caterpillar down 570. We've got IBM down $1.80. Not so much there. J.P. Morgan down 443. Microsoft down 4. So we're heading. Salesforce down 521. Even Disney down 331. Visa down 366. It's a not a good morning so far. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 363. That's 2.3%. I'd be a bit surprised if the European people are more in bed with these guys than ever grand. Maddie, can we change that to not so Evergrande?
What did I call them? Everglade? Yeah. I think I did. Yeah, Evergrande.
Everglade. They got a lot of alligators there, don't they?
They do in the Everglades.
Plus, now they got a whole bunch of pythons because the idiots threw them out there. FTSE down 115, 1.7%. CAC around down 173. That's 2.6%. Plus, we got to talk about. You know they yanked their ambassador from us, don't you?
No.
France.
Okay.
Maybe you're watching too much football. We totally pissed them off. We screwed them out of a submarine deal with Australia.
Yeah, I'd rather watch football.
Yeah. Nikkei up 176.6%. Shanghai up 6.2%. Get a load of this, though. Wait. These guys are, I think these guys are, Shanghai and Nikkei are not trading today. Okay, they're in that, but Hang Seng is. Hang Seng is down 828, 3.3%. So belay those ones where those guys are up. You know, Hang Seng is the one that's trading. So they're way into bear market territory now there in the Hang Seng. As a way of review, Friday Dow was down 166, S&P down 40. So Friday wasn't exactly a box of chocolates either. NASDAQ down 137. Bonds, we've got down, well, the 10-year is down 4 basis points to 1.32, meaning bonds are up, which they are. The Bund is down 4 basis points to minus 0.32. Japan, however, is up 1 basis point to positive 0.06. We've got oil down $1.36, but still over 70, 70.61. Brent down $1.17, 74.17. Natural gas up 3 cents to 5.13. RBOB down 3 cents to 2.13. We've got gold up 560 to 1757, but still way below the 1800 it was maybe like a week ago. Silver up 2 cents, 2236. Copper down 8 cents, 416. And we've got crypto, the Bitcoin down 3400 to 44,101. That's a bad day. Maddie, what do you got for us, Traffic, Weather, Sports?
It's a September slide.
Yeah.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a good start on the Edens. Traffic building on the Kennedy out near O'Hare, but that's normal for a Monday morning. No significant issues there. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, too, but looking good so far. Southside expressways are all quiet. Off the expressways, Out in the western suburbs, Route 83, which is Kingery Highway at 22nd Street, there is a crash. And that's a busy intersection there. And then west of that, out in Wheaton, there's an accident at Hawthorne and Arbor that is causing delays. But everything else is all quiet out there. Weather today, rain on and off in the forecast, could have a thunderstorm or two, a high of 80. Right now it's overcast and 73 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a nice late summer day, sunshine with a high of 99. Right now it's clear and 73. In sports, the Bears are on the board here in the 2021 season, outlasting Cincinnati yesterday at Soldier Field. 20-17 was the final in that one. Bears, behind three interceptions and a fumble recovery, jumped out to a 20-3 lead, and it looked like they were going to run away with it. But some late turnovers and some big plays by Cincinnati cut the lead to 20-17, and Justin Fields had to scramble and get a late first down to seal the win with his legs. That's right, Fields came in after Andy Dalton tweaked his knee, and he'll have an MRI today to see the extent of the damage. It was a non-contact injury and didn't look good, but they don't think he tore his ACL, so we'll find out more there. But Dalton was pretty good in the early going before he got hurt. Fields came in, was up and down, threw a bad interception, but also had a couple of receivers that dropped balls, including an Allen Robinson touchdown that would have been if it did not go through his arms. But Fields finished 6 of 13, 60 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. But they also rushed for 31 yards, including that big first down. And that was pretty much it for the offense as far as statistics. But the defense was big time yesterday. It looked like the Bears defense of old. Robert Quinn played well. Not Jonathan Quinn.
Is that the first time he played since they got him? First time I heard his name.
It's the first time he played well, and then he also had a really bad penalty. But outside of the bad penalty, he played really well. Khalil Mack had a sack.
Two bad penalties.
Yeah. But the Bears defense overall, I would give them an A grade as they get the Bears on the board here with a 20-17 win. Arizona Cardinals are 2-0 as they outlasted Minnesota 34-33. Vikings missed a last-second field goal that would have won it for Minnesota. So the Vikings are now 0-2, but the Cardinals will take it with a one-point win. Sunday Night Football, as we talked about earlier, was a great game. A shootout between the Ravens and Chiefs that Baltimore hung on to win late after a Chiefs fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire that, as they were going in for the game-winning field goal, he fumbles, Ravens recover. They get a late first down on 4th-and-1 and beat the Chiefs 36-35. So both of those teams are 1-1. Major League Baseball, White Sox, their magic number is down to 4. They beat up on the Rangers 7-2. Cubs top the Brewers 6-4. Diamondbacks lost to the Astros 7-6. So a quick look at our Major League Baseball standings here on a Monday as we get into late September here on the 20th of September. White Sox are 85-64. They're 500 in their last 10, but again, magic number is down to 4, so they should clinch their division this week if all things go as planned. They're 11 games up on Cleveland. Cubs have played decent ball of late over the last month, I would say, but the last 10, they're 3-7 after dropping 2 of 3 from Milwaukee. They're 67-83, and they're pretty much out of it. Diamondbacks are 48-101, worst record in baseball. Chief.
What's the wild card? Hey, Jan, what's the wild card look like in the American League? It's still kind of wild.
No pun intended. So the wild card standings, I'm glad you brought it up. So you have Boston and Toronto right now are ahead in the wild card. And Toronto is 1.5 games up on the Yankees, who have lost 2 in a row and are fading. And they're 2 up on Oakland. Who have won 5 in a row and are back in it. So it's basically Boston and Toronto are on the inside, and then New York and Oakland on the outside looking in, and it's going to come down to those 4 teams with 2 spots left.
I think Schwarber has really helped the both Sox.
Yeah, he has. And then the National League, the Dodgers are either going to win their division or they're going to win the wild card. They're in no matter what because they're 16 games up on the second wild card team, which is the Cardinals, who have won 8 in a row and came out of nowhere after it looked like they were dead in the water earlier in the season.
Aren't the Cardinals they were the first. I don't know if they're the only team to ever win the World Series in the wild card spot.
They're not the only team, but they were one of the first. I think the Marlins were the first to do it in 1997. Okay. And then the Cardinals did it, and it's happened 3 or 4 times now where the wild card teams won it.
Has anybody won it from the wild card the one-game playoff spot. I don't think anybody's
now that I don't think has happened yet. But it looks like it's Dodgers and Cardinals because the Reds are fading. They're now three back. The Phillies are 3.5 back, and the Padres are 3.5 back in the second wild card spot. So if things were to end today, it would be Red Sox and Blue Jays as your American League wild card winners, Dodgers and Cardinals as your National League wild card winners, and then your division winners would be the Tampa Bay Rays, the Chicago White Sox, and the Houston Astros in the American League, and it would be the Braves, Brewers, and Giants in the National League.
Okay, so Jan, before I'm going to give Manny, I like giving him, since somehow or another I get hooked up with this Core Digest, and they send me all these wacky things that people answer these questions. They got a baseball guy there that keeps winging the oddest baseball statistics at people. Do you know that it's actually not 90 feet to first base?
It's not. What is it?
Come on.
It's not. It's from the back of the plate to the back of the bag. So it's actually 90 feet for the front of the bag. Is the first measurement you make is like 127.5 feet.
So what does that make, like 88 feet?
Well, no, the bag's not 2 feet long.
No, but if it's from the back of the plate, that's 1 foot. And if it's the back of the bag, that's 1 foot.
Well, it's right? Like, yeah, it's like
88
like,
feet.
It's like 88.11 inches or something. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, it's okay. Your first measurement is from home plate to the back of second base. Then you take 90 feet from second base, and you draw an arc. You take 90 feet from the back of home plate and draw an arc, and where it fits, that's the back of the bag. That's the corner of the bag, the outside rear corner of the bag. I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
I didn't either. Thank you. That's a geometry too. I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Did you get a compass out to figure this out?
Well, you would. You know, you almost you get a rope and you put a little something on a rope, a stick, and the reason why it comes to mind is because I was talking to my. My nephew's tremendous wife. I mean, she's an incredible lady. I'm going to say I can't believe she picked him, but she did. My nephew's a good kid. And so he's a good softball player. So she was telling me about how because of the COVID thing that everybody's decided, no, this is so insane. You know, this is the new world, I guess. The kids are way behind, right? Essentially, they're a year behind roughly. And the idea, what do you do? They're never going to catch up in the normal. And instead of having a summer school or something to catch up, they're not going to do that. So you have to figure out, I think today, if you're in any kind of a fast-track program, is it algebra, geometry, trigonometry, and then pre-calc now? John, I think, is the drill. Well, okay, so if you missed out on algebra, you still need algebra. So evidently, the soul that's going to fall here is geometry, because out of the four, geometry is they do the least amount of that on your college entrance tests. So when I do this kind of stuff, when I see people doing the arc and those kinds of things, and measuring this and that and figuring out what the square looks like, I'm not so sure that geometry isn't an important thing. I don't know if that's the one I'd want to drop. That's just me. But it's been so long. I think you get a lot of. You learn how to do a lot of spatial recognition in terms of reading drawings and any kind of certainly if you're going to go into kind of an architecture or any engineering, you don't want to drop the geometry part. But you know what, Dan? They didn't call and ask me, so I don't know. They call and ask you?
One of my proudest moments, Tom, was when I went back to a Mount Carmel High School reunion and my old geometry teacher was there. This was not long before he died. This guy devoted his life to teaching geometry to high school students. And I went up and, talked to him and said, I couldn't do the job I have if I hadn't had your geometry class in 1967, 68, because it was all land measurement. It was tangents. It was secants. It was the way a surveyor tracked the boundaries of a piece of property. It's all by degrees, stuff that I couldn't have ever had a grasp of. And he just beamed when somebody actually uses the stuff that I teach. He said, that's a great thing to hear. But it's not just that. I mean, it's how you read the world around you. It's how you read a map. It's how you look at a house and know it's not going to tip over. Geometry tells you a lot of stuff. I mean, it helps you make sense of things that are designed for a purpose. So,
speaking of which, our genius buddy, Kevin, he was downtown. We went over to Ceres and had an adult beverage, and we're going to head over to Mart Anthony's for some chow. And, of course, I... give him directions, and so does somebody else. I mean, it's real easy. What do you think he does? This is Kevin, the smartest guy as we know. He turns on the Lucy, or whatever the hell the stupid thing is that tells you which way to go, tells you where to go, literally.
Oh, the GPS?
So he decides that he probably doesn't belong on the Ryan and gets off at 18th Street. It has to double back. I go, you got to be kidding me. I told you it was 1100 West Fulton, or whatever that was, Hubbard. And he goes, yeah, I don't know how I ended up on the Ryan, this stupid thing. Really? Well, of course, I thought it was hilarious because Kevin, of course, knows everything, right? So it is so rigid, and he must make everything perfect. But he eventually made it. I mean, all right, Jen, why is the market in the crapper? What do you know about Evergrande, or maybe not so Evergrande? What do you make all this? And did you read that article I sent you about, you know, Z Premier, or wherever he is, Z trying to do all the same thing, cutting back on rights and doing this, that, and the other? I mean, how's he going to pull that off all at once, it seems like?
Yeah, I did read that, Tom. And, you know, it is tied up with the mess with the casino stocks, too. The Chinese don't really have a track record with having a booming capitalistic thirst for wealth and expansion coupled with a Marxist outlook on the world. They've never really had enough time or experience to reconcile those two things. So you know, the mess with the casino stocks started with, you know, attempting to regulate an industry that seemed to be, you know, an engine unto itself. And the same thing happened with Evergrande a year ago when the Chinese kind of read the tea leaves and thought this thing was getting too big to handle and we've got to start reining it in. And of course, there's nothing worse about regulation than when it's ill-timed. If you start regulating at the wrong time, you can crash an industry pretty easily. And I think that's what's happening here. And the repercussions are kind of staggering to imagine because, you know, if they default, which it looks like they're very likely to, they're going to take down a lot of other banks with them. I saw something this morning that says that they've floated the idea of paying off some of their investors in land, which apparently they have more than they can ever possibly sell right now. And that, the price of that is likely to tank too. So I don't think their investors are going to be too pleased with, you know, taking a piece of their real estate holdings as satisfaction of their debt. So it's likely to start a domino effect with, you know, all the banks and all the land companies in Asia.
Yeah, but how disparate are the investors? How's that for word for this hour of the morning?
Well, some of them are, you know, they're just people who put down deposits on a flat or a house and are likely to lose it. They've got almost 200,000 employees. So if those people, I mean, you look at something like Enron or, you know, the WorldCom or all these, this is far bigger and more wrapped up in the world economy than those businesses were, or even Lehman Brothers, too.
Right, well, think about it for a second. If you had 10 investors that lent you $20 million apiece and you went out and bought, you know, whatever, 5,000 acres worth of stuff, and all of a sudden you didn't have the cash flow to keep paying dividends or whatever you're paying interest or whatever, you could, I guess, divide the amount of land you've got by 10 or somehow make it equal value parcels and said, look, you guys got it, we're out of here. it wouldn't be unheard of.
Right, and it could work in certain settings, but
yeah.
I think it's more likely to be like a Ponzi scheme because there's going to be far more land going out to satisfy debts, and as the value of it drops, they're going to have to come up with more land.
Well, Enron, how many investors or individual shareholders do you think Enron had? A million? How do you break that up?
I mean, yeah, well, it's not feasible.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure, this is large investors. You know, this is, you know, one holding company versus another holding company. But I just don't see that being a long-term solution to this kind of debt crisis. I think if the whole thing is just going to crash.
I don't know if he's listening, but the question I would have for Russell, because Russell's been over there a bunch of times, but that doesn't mean you might not know the answer. Does China have the equivalent of a bankruptcy system? A federal bankruptcy process?
Well, they do have a bankruptcy, you know, the fact of bankruptcy, but I have no idea how it functions, if it functions, anything like what we have here, which is really, I mean, the thinking behind bankruptcy is to prevent cataclysms. It gives you a chance to stop the panic, to hold on to stuff that you can maybe sell down the road, maybe for less than you wanted to, but it's an orderly way of satisfying creditors and a fair system. And I don't think that the Chinese puts any kind of premium on being fair. So I don't imagine that whatever system they have looks or works anything like ours.
So for individual people and small businesses and so forth, I think ours works pretty well. Now, for big companies, now what would we want to do if we were the sneaky little Chinese guy as opposed to the sneaky little American guy? What we would want to do is buy some of their bonds at, say, 12 cents on a buck and show up in front of the bankruptcy judge and say, we are now a creditor. We want to sit at the big boy table and divide all this up and divide all the new shares, like a lot of them, to me because I bought the stuff at 12 cents on the buck, even though I just showed up 2 weeks ago. That's what we do here now, right?
Right, creditors' committees, you know. Who,
yeah, but you can get at it.
Out,
so. But you can get at it because you technically weren't owed. You weren't the guy that bought it at 100 cents on the buck, and now it's worth 12. You bought it at 12, and now you're a big swinging blowhard on the committee, and you end up with a big chunk of the new company after you screwed everybody else.
Right.
I think that to give you a Southside term really sucks. But that, you know, that's just me.
Right.
That's a Southside term. Not anybody else. Know what I mean? It means I don't like it very much. How's that?
Yep.
So what do you think of your buddy, the French ambassador? Now, we have to have a French consulate here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume that guys like you are having dinner with those guys a couple times a week because you're one of these worldly dudes. So is that guy called up?
I got my college French on them, Tom.
Yeah, so has that guy called you up and say, hey, John, by the way, up yours, I'm leaving?
Well, isn't this the first time in history that the French recall their U.S. ambassador?
Yeah.
We've had an ambassador with them for a long time.
Well, for those that don't know this story, and it essentially ties right in with the Chinese, right? Because Australia, for a long time, has been trying to balance this. They want to be China's buddy, and they want to be our buddy, because they've been our buddy forever, right? So I don't think that's ever going to change, hopefully. But they're trying to walk the middle ground here. And if for defense, they don't like being, you know, stone cold naked. They were going to buy, 10, 12, 8 diesel submarines from France, right? And France has got this deal going. So finally, at the late minute, the U.S., is it the U.S. and Britain or the U.S. and Japan? So anyway, us with a partner have decided to sell them, I don't think the full sub, we're going to sell them nuclear technology so now they can essentially get 8 or 9 or 10 or however many it is, I might have forgot the number, nuclear subs. This is over the next 8 years. And France is outraged because we just screwed them out of this deal they've been working on for like a decade. And so they are absolutely in a huff. And, you know, that we work behind their back. We went behind their back. They're an ally, which, of course, we did, I'm sure. But I did read something, and I think I might have sent it to you, Jen, is that in reality, it's a change in heart on the part of the Australians, that they now decided the way Z, which we've been talking about, and I guess, you know, what we try and do on the show is tie some of this stuff together as best it can be. Given the expansionary and all the other stuff that the Xi Jinping is doing in China, the Australians are not as convinced that the diesel subs are good enough, that they want something with a lot longer range, because they could find themselves, if China decides someday to be an adversary of the U.S., they will probably end up being an adversary to China, and the last thing they want to do is end up with a diesel sub that only is good for really coastal stuff, even though they are very quiet. They're actually very dangerous around, if you ever read Hunt for Red October or Red Storm Rising, the diesel sub is actually amazingly quiet when it's underwater, but it doesn't have very much range. So even if you're a nuclear sub, if you go piling into Chinese waters thinking you're a big swinging bleep, and they've got a bunch of these diesel subs around, you could be in trouble, because they are quiet. I mean, if you read the book, that's what he says anyway. But Australia wants to be able to project further than that. So it's not just, I don't think, Jen, us screwing France. It's a change on the part of the Australians.
Relations between Australia and China are none too good right now.
Well, when they started talking about this deal with France, I think they were pretty good. But now they're not.
That's years ago now.
But now, so now I don't. But they're got to be at least 5-6 years away from actually having a sub, because we're not going to sell them subs, are we? We're going to sell them the technology. And somebody else, is it Japan going to build it? I mean, somebody's going to build it. I'm not sure who's going to, if we're building it for them or what. But anyway, that's.
But you're right. It is absolutely tied up with this. It's not so much. I mean, it's the French are taking it as a slap, but it's got much more going on in it as a power play to kind of, you know, give a sign to the Chinese where Australia sees itself in a couple of years.
But it solidifies our spot as arms merchant to the world.
Right. Which we treasure.
Which we treasure, yeah. It's a... What do you make of... we'll probably talk more about it at the break. I don't know. We'll get to go to break here pretty soon, but I don't get what's going on with the Haitians and stuff and all of a sudden showing up here, because Haiti's been basically a horrible spot for like a really long time, and it's... What's on the other side of the island? Dominican Republic, right? But they've been, I won't say that's a garden spot, but they've been light years ahead of Haiti for like a century, right? I mean, Haiti's always had some. Didn't they have? Well, they have Papa Doc, and they had Little Doc, or was it wasn't Little Doc? What was the little guy's name? The son's name? Baby Doc. It was Baby Doc.
Baby Doc, yeah.
And the place has been, you know, one hunk of corruption from day. When people jump into this, I mean, first of all, I'm not the idea of, you know, 3 million or however many Haitians piling across the border like a Oklahoma land grab. I don't want that happening either. I mean, come on, I'm not that. I don't think anybody wants that to happen. I don't know how far left you go. There's no way anybody wants that. But I think, Jan, somehow or another, everybody in this country probably should take a 4-week class. And this is the state of the world you're in. I mean, are we clueless? Don't we realize there's like 6-7 million people wandering around this world without a home? I mean, it's not like things are good around the rest of the world. And let's talk about that when we come back, because you drop inflation on top of it. Anybody doesn't think there's not going to be a connection? I hope I'm wrong, because it happened last time between world grain prices and world unrest. I think you better reach another beer and double up on that. Wife beater T-shirt you got on. S&P futures up down 71 now. NASDAQ futures down 230. This is getting ugly. Be right back. It's been ugly. It's getting uglier. Be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures down 69, NASDAQ futures down 219. Dow futures, let me get up. Dow future, we got to be down 600. We're down more than 600. Right now we're down 634. Let's kind of shift here, gears here a hair. The Fed now is coming under increasing heat, shall we say. It'll be nice. Because a few of the guys, or one of them, Kaplan, has been trading, while he's been on the Fed, trading his own stock, trading individual stocks, not even ETFs. And he's claiming that, according to strict rules, he didn't do any of the trading in the quiet period, which is right during a meeting. There's a meeting tomorrow, so this week, we've got meetings, gotta address all this stuff, we'll see if they do. Matt, you've been hanging around doing a great job on the board for like a long time now. And this is a subject that I brought up a whole bunch of times, and I don't hear anybody else bringing it up except for our buddy Pedro, who got wung out of the wung out of the Wall Street Journal because he asked Janet Yellen. Funny how this one comes around, Matty. He asked Janet Yellen on national TV, "What is the status of the investigation of the Fed announcements being front run?" And she was visibly pissed off, like your grandmother. Who reached for a ruler or something, and basically got him thrown out of the group. Now, not many people remember that. You and I do, because Petro is a buddy of ours. And now here we are, how many years later, and they got a guy from the Fed trading stocks, when he knows more than anybody else. Now, are we just ahead of our time, or what are we? Bud, will you tell me?
Good question, but it has been something that you've been talking about for a long time. And it's funny, I actually was messaging back and forth with Pedro the other day, and he's looking to come back on the show here again.
So. Oh, we got him on about this this thing with this guy. Now,
oh, yeah.
Now these people, Matty, I'm going to ask you. You got everything going for you. You got the terrific wife. You got the terrific dog. By the way, the dog still like you?
So far. Well, we feed him, so he likes that.
That guy, when he got adopted by you guys, the dude went to heaven.
Yeah, he's had a pretty easy life, that's for sure.
He loved it. By the way,
gets two long walks every day. He gets, two hot meals. I mean, they're not hot, but two meals a day and some treats here and there, and he's happy as a clam.
If you knew he was going to decide that your bed was his, would you got a guy that big?
No. Well, first of all, we didn't know how big he was going to get because he was a mutt, and we didn't know what he was. But he's like 50 pounds, and it's a great sized dog until he jumps in your bed with you.
Hey, you guys, move over. There's not enough room for me.
And he likes to spread out like a starfish.
Okay. God. It's amazing how much room they can take. Maggie can't be 12 pounds, and yet she wants to be sideways, and she'll, like, shove you. Like, Maggie, can't you turn the other way, you idiot? Anyway, this is – what has to happen? No, you're, a millennial dude. What has to happen to really send a message that this is? First of all, I would never expect Biden to do it. I would never expect Trump to do it. As I was, having serious discussions with my significant other and her friends this weekend regarding, they see these massive differences between Trump and Biden. Other than demeanor, I see none in terms of actual policy. In terms of actual concern about people around you having ethics. I've seen no difference at all. They're just different people around you. I mean, I would think that the Fed has to, or the president has to walk in there and said, I know you guys are supposed to be independent, but I better get, I'd be like, Wilford Brimley. I want, here's the resignations. Everybody sign one and get the hell out of here and don't let the door hit any ass. I'll find some new people. This is insane that they think they're, but you know what, Matty, let's go back to, this is more of a John question. Let's go back to my class days with George Stigler, and somebody said, can you stop corruption? He said, I can stop it tomorrow. Guy goes, in Chicago? He goes, I can stop it anywhere tomorrow. Well, how the hell would you do that? Didn't say hell. And George Stigler says, first of all, he says, you've got aldermen back in the day making $20,000 a year because they steal. So you don't pay them a living wage because you know they steal, and then you're mad when they steal. He says, okay, there's no logic to that. He says, so the mayor, same thing. The mayor at the time, I think Mayor Daley was making 40 or 45 grand. He goes, that's probably one-fifth of what the chairman of General Motors makes. And by the way, he has more employees and he has a bigger budget by a factor of 3 or 4 than General Motors. He goes, you give Mayor Daley $1 million at the time, which would have been spectacular. Give him $1 million salary and say he's expected to have ethics while he's here, and you put 800,000 of the million into escrow, and you pay him 200, and as he leaves office, you start paying him out of the escrow, and the minute he's caught doing anything, he forfeits the whole escrow, and he forfeits any kind of pension. I guarantee you that you're not paying for no corruption. You're paying for corruption because so I'm going to say, Matty, you stopped by Ceres a couple times, and John, I think you did once or twice. When all my buddies from the Fed were in there, when they still came down to work,
yeah.
I'm going to say that every guy at that table made at least 50% more than the chairman of the Fed does and all the outside governors. Just saying. It's a massive job to get you in a spot. That's why Janet Yellen, after having that job, went out in a year, got $6 or $7 million from the people she was supposed to have been regulating, and now is supposed to be speaking fees. Because you should say, Janet, in this job, you're going to make $2 million a year. Okay. And when you leave, I better never, but $1.5 million is going somewhere. And the minute I see your fanny in front of one of these places getting a check, we're taking the money back. Because I'm going to think they're paying you $220 grand for a half hour because you didn't regulate him like you should have, or now, and that's all payback. That's just me, because I learned from a guy who was a Nobel Prize winner. This is why I didn't think this up. I would do this so totally different, John. You wouldn't recognize the place. That's why nobody wants me there. Just saying.
Well, and the track record is such that a lot of these people in public office, they in rare cases do they sacrifice their pensions. I mean, that would be one place you could do it, even with mechanisms they have now, but that's always a contested issue. And just why are these people on the dole for the rest of their lives when they betrayed the public trust?
Well, the lady from Congress, the richest person in Congress, is the wife of the guy who owns is it ICE, the NASDAQ and Box, and not Box, but the owns ICE, which ICE owns the NASDAQ, right? I believe.
Right.
She's the richest person in Congress, and she's the one who walked out of the COVID meeting and sold all her stock, right? The 50-ish blonde lady, she got the job when one guy was corrupt and had to leave the Senate. She got appointed, and I think she won her next election. I'm not positive. You know what I'm talking about, Maddie. If you can find the name? Just put down richest person in Congress. She'll pop right up. And so she came out of this meeting and sold stock. Now what is it? We can't impeach a blonde lady now or whatever. There is no discipline whatsoever, not even a sanction from the Senate. I mean, these people cannot discipline themselves. They absolutely cannot.
Well, and they're all in on the same thing, too. They're not likely to call out one of their fellow members because they're all doing it.
Well, I don't know if they... I'll bet there's a lot of people in Congress, certainly representatives, that are not trading on news. They don't even have an account, half of them. I mean,
maybe not in the House, but in the Senate.
Oh, the Senate, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to... James, let me ask you, have you seen the same thing? Once you get out of the people here in Illinois, again, it's a very small sample, and it was a long time ago when I was on the board of the SIBO. We used to go out to Washington every year, and we'd have a party, a reception. Well, I guess it was a party, maybe. What, if you're a big shot, it's a reception. If you're a schmuck, it's a party.
That's right.
Anyway, I guess I'm a schmuck. We had a party for all these guys to show up. And when you had a bunch of representatives coming from like some rural spot in Carolina or someplace or even Indiana, they are amazingly regular, down to earth people. They're not the representative from Chicago that thinks he's a head of GM, for God's sake, he or she. I mean, they're very down to earth, I think. I mean, state legislator, I knew a couple of them from when Audrey lived in a house in Ogden Dunes. One of the ladies was a state senator. You would never have guessed. She never carried herself like she was anybody different. And she was very nice, and she really was dedicated. I mean, Oh man, look at, we had so much snow that we had to give all these people a you know, whole big chunk of money for plowing and everything else, and it set our budget back by like, you know, $50, and we're all heading back down there to make sure it's balanced. I mean, talk about a terrier and, you know, after a bone. I mean, she was absolutely convinced that the good government, that she was going to be part of it. And I mean, totally different than the, I won't even go into the names of the people we have here. Anyway, I'm saying, I don't think, to think that she would have an account somewhere that she's trading on inside Fed announcements, I don't buy that, Jan, I really don't. But I mean, yeah, is, what, senators, you know, is Nancy Pelosi's husband trading on it? I'd be stunned if he wasn't. That doesn't mean he is, but I mean, I'd be stunned if he wasn't, right?
Right, and you figure in the governors too. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's a whole class of politicos, that are privy to stuff. I mean, the fact that they can get on message so quickly in times of crisis and also doing the same stuff, they really do have a network unlike any that we've ever seen exposed or analyzed or anything. And they're all doing the same stuff, I'm convinced. So, you know, the Senate, I use that as the prime example, maybe. But there's so much wealth and there's so much ability to increase it in your position there that people just don't give up the jobs unless they're thrown out.
Well, the so what you're saying is when the market was down, what were we down on Friday? And it's really been down all week. We're losing down 40 on Friday. Now another 75 here today now. And it started really early last week. Are you saying that somehow, some way, some people sort of knew, be it Goldman Sachs, be it somebody, that that maybe this thing in China was starting to percolate up before we did, and they didn't really tell anybody, they just traded ahead of it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I can't.
Do you
no
think that of your fellow man?
I don't, but my gut tells me, and in a way, if nobody has that information, then we really are in trouble. But I would imagine the people who have the information can disseminate it in strategic ways to take care of their friends and you know, reduce the pain to the people in positions that are important to them. So I would assume that there is such a ability to do that. Again, no evidence. But
well, as a person on the trading floor once told me, and again, I just, these are revelations that you have in life. Now, Jan and I, and I'm going to say Maddie Weber, we're basically, if I could put us, I'd say we're higher end schmucks. We're still schmucks, but we've at least gone to some pretty good schools and actually try and learn stuff. A, because for my job I have to, and B, I'm also interested. And somehow or another, I jam this down poor Maddie's head every morning. And he, much as he says he's not listening, I know he is. And Jan, you've been known to read a book without pictures once in a while yourself. So we're still on the in with the rabble, but we might be upper. Can you be upper rabble?
There's rabble and then there's rabble, Tom.
Yeah, there's rabble and there's other rabble. But so one of my revelations was I was in the OEX pit one day and a bunch of guys there. Whenever it's not, you know, of course you talk to people and. That's when I first started. Boy, everybody here's got a story to tell, and everybody here's got something that I don't know. And if they talk and tell me about it, I learn. Even though these guys, you'd never guess by looking at them. But so one of the guys is telling me, oh yeah, one of my friends from what's the boarding school? And I'm like, first I said, what the hell's a boarding school? I didn't even know what those things were. I mean, I thought Mount Carmel and Marist were bad enough, but I guess it was worse than that. We actually go live there, and So he goes, oh yeah, you go to these places, you know, and everybody gets paddled and all this other stuff. He said, but you go there and you hate it because your rich parents basically, A, they don't really want to put up with you because they're traveling around the world. B, that's where you meet all the other schmucks like you and where you become the people in society, not like you and me, not in the schmuck group, the rabble. So the guys tell me, yeah, one of the guys I went to school with is in the, I forget if it was AT&T or IBM or what it was. And he goes, yeah, you know, the guy's dad calls him and he went to school with the controller of the company and an hour before the earnings come out, the guy calls his dad and then the dad calls the kid and he knows what the earnings are. Because of course the kid's a terrible trader and he's lost money like half the time, but well, that can happen. You don't really know what people's response to earnings are until they have the conference call and stuff. So it's not as, you'd like to have that piece of information, but you're not going to bet the house on it because you don't, the interpretation of it, you don't. So I go, well, how the hell does that work? He says, that's why people go to these boarding schools. Nobody wants to go to some place away from home and get your ass paddled, you know, and live somewhere with a bunch of other schmucks. You do it because now you're the in crowd. You're running the place. That's why you go there. It's not a morality thing. That's why I was so against, even though he's turned out better than I thought, the guy who, one of Reagan's appointees for, judge, the guy who had gone to all those places, never gone anywhere outside of Congress, just hung with that crowd his entire life. As a person, I'm sure he's fine. As a judge, I think he's probably brilliant. John, I just don't want anybody like that in those jobs. I mean, maybe it's totally a South Side thing. It has nothing to do with whether the man's qualified or not. I just, if anybody was like that, they wouldn't be out with the three of us, I don't think.
Right, and they've seen too little of the world that you know intimately.
Unfortunately, yes.
Care about it or appreciate it or respect it.
Yeah, I mean, they've just never seen it. They don't even know what we're talking about. You know, and when you talk about the Fed and the inflation, these guys talk about it's only this, it's only that. They're talking about numbers. They don't see people's faces on that page. Well, when I go to Myers yesterday and I go, and I see the ribs are $6.65 a pound. And I'm going, wait a minute. Like last year, if on sale, you got them under $3. So they've like doubled. And used cars, the average new car now is $42,000 bucks in a year. I'm going to say the week before the COVID, Matty, what was the number? 31?
So it's, yeah,
up,
probably.
So it's up 25%. It's actually up a third. And then you got a bunch of I'm going to say stooges on TV telling you, well, they didn't go up last month, they're okay. But they didn't go back down, did they? Well, no. So how the hell, Jan, in 1978, or say, let's go to 2000. I'm saying 2000, the median income was $31,000 bucks, and I'm going to say the average price of a car was 12. Now the median income is...
Nice car, yes.
Yeah, median income is 37, and the average price of a car is 42. How's you doing? Just saying.
You're collapsing. You're in the dirt.
you're in the dirt. You're absolutely in the dirt. So how do we tie some of this together? What do you think the upshot is going to be in this China? Is there any chance that the guy gets thrown out, or are these guys locked in like a tick on a dog?
Well, the thing there, I think this guy Xi Jinping and every other Chinese ruler, you know, that we've had any kind of relationship with. Is deathly afraid of the power of their own people. And this is why they've got the strict surveillance society. This is why every move, economically, physically, whatever, of their people, they want to know about. And they're have been more concerned about that than about what's going on with their proto-capitalists, you know, who are kind of reaching a point where they think they've got more to say politically than Xi Jinping would ever admit anybody else but him. You know, could assert. So they have been extremely draconian in the way they treat their own people. Were this ever to erupt into something so catastrophic that the Chinese people, the rank and file people, the people who are just trying to buy homes from Evergrande, let's say, and are wiped out financially, there's no safety net in the Chinese system for people like that. Would they rise up? Would there be a coup? Could there be a popular figure that would take on Xi Jinping? I don't see it happening anytime soon, but believe me, the threat of that happening is uppermost in their mind. So they are preparing, I think, for something like that, whether it's a real threat or not. And there's never been an orderly transfer of power in any of these autocratic regimes. I mean, look at Russia and its Soviet depths. It was always like, who showed up at the May Day party and who was standing next to whom, and are they the next person? Are they the designee? This has nothing to do with, you know, any kind of assertion of democratic will or anything. It's just, you know, the murderous intent of people who are willing to do the worst to get their way. And all bets are off. I mean, they're inscrutable to a great extent. They don't want anybody thinking about this stuff. They don't want anybody talking about it or making book on it or anything. It's something they freak out about.
Well, John, as a real estate dude and other things, Eddie, who did we have on? It wasn't the guy regarding about the migrants. It was a long time ago. We had somebody on talking about the cities that were built in China where like nobody lives there.
These ghost cities that are just, you know, full of skyscraper buildings. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, they'll show you a picture, and there's like one car in the street or something. Jan, how does that take me through that? I mean, these guys build these buildings. They must have buyers that have given them, quote, a deposit. I mean, I'm talking about the regular way of doing this. And then nothing seems to happen. Do the people then, in theory, still own a place where they choose to not move there because they'd be the only one, or the elevator doesn't work? I mean, what exactly? They can't build the next building without at least some sniff of a buyer, some sniff of a deposit on the one that you just got done with. Even there, no bank is going to give you a loan. How does that work? I mean, or how could it work? Is it now that those people want their deposits? I mean, what all of a sudden? It's been going on for, it's got to be two decades. Why today? What seems to be happening here? Do you have any idea?
But my suspicion, Tom, is that these ghost cities are state financed. The state dictated their location, their configuration, their size. Everything is just, they're like Potemkin villages. They're not real places. They weren't built according to market pressures or expansion of an individual homeowner's lifestyle. It has to do, I think, with warehousing people in the event of cataclysmic events like earthquakes or floods, dam ruptures, whatever kind of disasters that the Chinese face, because of the size of the country. And it's also a way of controlling, you know, where people are. If you have to move people from one place to another and you've got a place already set up and infrastructure all set, I don't think those cities were driven by market pressures by consumers at all. I think there's something entirely different and essentially mysterious. But the average person who just wants to trade up into a bit better flat, and it gave a deposit to Evergrande, and now it's not going to have anything, and maybe not a place to live in. Those people are going to be desperate. And when you got desperate people, and people who formerly had money and some influence, and now they're deprived of it, they'll be angrier than the average person. So who can say what will happen? I don't know.
Well, Jan, I think, and again, Matty's saving us here today like he does every day. I'm going to say that 1900, Chicago at 3 million people, wasn't it one of the top 10 cities in the world?
Yeah. And in terms of the rate of growth, by far the fastest.
So, and now I'm going to say that if we still were 3 million, which we're not, I'm going to say we wouldn't be in the top 40 of cities in China.
Oh, right.
Now, I don't think that the population of China has gone up any more than the population of the U.S. in percentage basis. Where do all these people come from? Is it totally a rural to city? I mean, gentleman used to be on the show with us, how was his name? He did all the commodity stuff for us. I'll think of his name in a second, but he was over there, he and his wife Carrie, because they did the stuff with the Chris. Chris and Carrie went over there because they did some stuff for the agriculture department here, and they had people here from the agricultural group in China, and were teaching them about, you know, locks and dams, and, you know, we went to the plant making the alcohol gasoline and so forth. And he was saying that a family farm was an eighth of an acre was enough.
Oh, yeah.
Was enough to have, you know, a few cows and a bunch of chickens
and a shed for you and a shed for the livestock.
Yeah, basically. I mean is that many people, like the one lady who was here, she was 28, very bright. She was the head of the team. There was probably seven people. And she said that she had just, when she was 18 or 19, hopped on a train, and it was a, I don't know how many, 12 or 15 or 20-hour train ride to Beijing. And she introduced herself or got a job, and sure enough, 8 years later, she was a big enough shot in the agriculture department to bring a team of six or seven over here for 2 weeks to, you know, they were learning about crop insurance and options and, you know, commodity futures and all kinds of stuff. Of course, we were teaching them back, I guess, when we were friendlier. But I mean, she just basically put her ass on a train and said, "I'm going. See you, pops and mom." And I don't think she ever went back. So I mean, is it just a boatload of people like her? And out of the seven people on the team, say four or more ladies. You know, and one guy was telling me that he was the family had pretty much disowned him because everybody else in the family, his brothers, uncles, and dad, were all physicians. He was the first guy to get like a job with the government, and they pretty much disowned him. So that's not honorable. maybe they didn't like that government or what. But he said, "Yo, I don't even talk to my family anymore. They told me, he says, I'm not a physician. I'm useless, basically." So yeah, it's kind of a different world. But so this is strictly, you know, they wanted everybody to move from the farms into the cities, and some groups didn't make it. So there's a few empty cities. Is that
well? And that they're providing for contingencies too, because they don't know. You know, how much of their land over the long haul will remain habitable. If you look at the Three Gorges Dam issues, you know, all it takes is a couple of good rainfalls to knock out dams all over the place, and you get, you know, swamped areas. Big cities could be swamped too. I think the Chinese would take the long view and say, well, if these cities don't make it, we've got other cities waiting in the wings to take up these people. Just in the closing minutes, Tom, I'll send out an article about this, but I'd like to hear what Kevin and other people have to say about it. But it's a statistic I just saw about community college enrollment in this country. It's down 14.6% among 18 to 20-year-olds as of the spring from the previous year, which is disastrous.
Yeah.
I mean, normally my experience was when times were really bad, my community colleges and everybody else's community college, their enrollment went up. People could sort of stand back from the, you know, desperate times and develop a skill and emerge better equipped to survive. So now, with an economy and a job market that's so absurd right now,
well, John, that's
the numbers would be reversed in the other direction.
That's what I did in '74. There was not a job market anywhere. That's when I went to grad school.
Right, and now you would think with, you know, opportunities vanishing and businesses closing, yeah, and, you know, difficulties, you know, getting a job at all, but the response has been that people are avoiding community college, and I assume that would mean they're avoiding universities too.
John, we gotta.
What that means for our brain drain over the long haul? I'd like to hear what Kevin is seeing.
We'll make sure we ask him. We gotta head off now because we gotta talk to Mike Hart. By the way, his VIX is up almost 6 points here to 26.70, with his market down 80 now. SP futures down 80, NASDAQ futures down 270. This is getting really, really ugly. John, thank you. Be right back, Mr. Mike Hart.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. It's Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Mike Hart with us in a second. SP Futures down 80. Yeah, 80. NASDAQ futures down 267.75. Dow futures down 667. So we're into the Dow's almost 2%. The other guys are 1.7 something. So it's pretty ugly here. It's all about this, well, allegedly, all about this Evergrande fear, which, you know, it's kind of been around for a while, and all of a sudden it's percolating to the top. DAX now down 445. It's really ugly there. It's almost 3%. FTSE down 128, 1.8%. CAC around down 176, 2.7. Over in Asia, careful of these first, because the Nikkei and Shanghai, mainland Japan and mainland China are not trading today, South Korea. Hang Seng, however, is. They were down 821. That's 3.3%. On Friday, we were down 166 in the Dow, 40 in the S&P, 137 in the NASDAQ. So we were down S&P and NASDAQ almost a percent on Friday. Bonds down, down 5/32, 1.31. So it means the bonds themselves are rallying. Bund down 4 basis points, 10-year down 4 basis points, minus 0.32. Japan up 1 basis point to positive 0.06. We've got oil on $1.93 now, 70.04, barely hanging over 70. It's almost 3%. Brent down 171. It's dropped pretty, 73.63. It was over 75 for a while. Natural gas only down a penny, 5.09. But natural gas had been up to like 5.35 or something, so it's dropped a lot. RBOB down 5 cents to 11. Gold up 10 bucks, 17.61. Silver up 6 cents, 22.40. Copper down 9 cents, 4.15. And crypto taking a bath here too. Bitcoin down 4,500 bucks to 42,946. Matty, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? I mean, they've got Bitcoin here, drops 8% to 44,000 is the headline. Guess what? It's already under 43,000. Get a new headline, for God's sake. Matty, what do you got for us?
That's right. 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic's starting to pick up, but no accidents to report, so that's great news. But a lot of red on the Edens and Kennedy, same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways as well, but no accidents to report at all in the area. So enjoy a normal Monday morning commute without significant delays. Weather today, rain on and off in the forecast, could have some thunderstorms as well. A high of 80. Right now it's overcast, still dry, and 73 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 99 today. Right now it's clear and 74. In sports, the Bears are on the board. They beat the Bengals 20-17 to even up their record at 1-1. Justin Fields took over for an injured Andy Dalton early in the game and did just enough to win behind a defense that was opportunistic, turning the Bengals over 4 times as the Bears get their first win of the year. Cardinals are 2-0. They held on to beat the Vikings 34-33 as Minnesota missed a last-second field goal that would have won it. Sunday Night Football is a back-and-forth shootout between the Ravens and Chiefs, and it was Baltimore upsetting Kansas City at home 36-35. Major League Baseball, White Sox magic number is down to 4. They beat up on the Rangers 7-2. Cubs salvaged the final game of their 3-game set with Milwaukee, beating the Brewers 6-4 yesterday. Diamondbacks lost to the Astros 7-6. Chief.
Matty, real quick, because we got a bunch of stuff to talk about with Mike. Who's 2-0 and who's 0-2 in football?
Well, the Cardinals, for our Phoenix listeners, are 2-0, so they're definitely excited about that. Buffalo, Mike's team, is 1-1. They got a big win yesterday after losing week one. A lot of teams are 1-1 right now, but as far as the 2-0s are concerned,
Oakland's one of them, right? Las Vegas. The
Las Vegas Raiders are 2-0. The Denver Broncos are a surprising 2-0, so those are the only two undefeated teams in the AFC now that Kansas City lost. In the NFC, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Super Bowl champs, they're 2-0. Carolina is a surprising 2-0. And in the NFC West, there are 3 2-0s. I mentioned Arizona, but the Rams and the 49ers are also 2-0.
Seattle lost a tough one yesterday.
They did at home in overtime.
Yeah.
Dropping them to 1-1. So the Bears, believe it or not, Chief, are sitting alone atop the NFC North at 1-1 in first place, waiting on the Lions and Packers to play tonight, who are both 0-1.
Who else is in there?
The Vikings are 0-2.
Mike, we've been waiting with bated breath for you. What is going on here?
Chief, like at some point we've been talking how many weeks in a row that this market is it's just showing so much positive growth, and we haven't seen any real significant pullback. I feel like this is a pretty large pullback for this early in the morning, And you mentioned overseas, we saw markets that were down. Granted, not everything was open, but over 3% on the Hang Seng. So I think this is just a sell-off. It may have something to do with that bank, but like you said, that's sort of been old news, or that's been out there. I think it's the type of thing where the market starts selling off and it's accelerating because it's one person after the other. It's that snowball effect where you can really see acceleration to the downside once you get past a certain point.
I want to ask you a question here, Matty. Feel free, because this is a news kind of question. How is it, and when I say this, this is yet another, and I don't even go down this road about this being August of 82, this kind of a turn, or the crash of 87, or anything like that. How is it that there's stuff that we've talked about, and with other guests, and sure with Jeff, this whole concept of this Chinese debt, we've been, for God's sake, man, we talked about it the first day we did the show, for Christ's sake, and if it wasn't the first day, it surely was the first week, and I'm like, what's with this down and that? All of a sudden, this stuff just becomes non-news for a while, and it's still sitting there. And all of a sudden, I mean, there's no question that the Chinese have been having some sort of debt problems for the last several years. They're percolating up. They've had some bank stuff. Then they're not going to give people loans. And then all of a sudden, they decide, well, we better give people more loans because if we don't, they're going to go broke. And this has been going on. And the numbers just keep getting bigger and bigger. And now there's this place. Then you got people like Goldman Sachs telling you five stocks you're supposed to buy in China today. I mean, really? And somehow we never exactly know the connection between our guys over there. There's never been a day when some bank didn't go out in Outer Mongolia that one of our guys couldn't find a way to get over there and lose money at the place, right? So there's this constant connection, even though the Chinese government, now the Chinese government seemingly, without any regard to any of this, is now doing their best after fighting with Trump and now with Biden over some stuff to screwing their own companies worse than we're trying to screw them. And all this stuff, all of a sudden, one day you wake up, or maybe it started last week, and we've got 2 days in a row now we're down 120 points in the spoon. So all of a sudden, why do you know about this? It's been obvious there forever. It hasn't been that obvious, Mike. I mean, it's obvious to somebody, but, you know, I just feel good because on Friday I do my stuff here, and I also do some stuff for NFO that everybody knows. And on Friday, some of the guys called me and they said, "What do you think we should do? We decided to go. We're this nervous. We got into some cash or something, and we probably want to put it in the market." And I said, "You know what? Let's just wait on Monday. This doesn't look so hot." And I'm not talking about some massive move, right? You know, I'm not going to be in Elaine Gazzarelli and say, "Geez, I called the Monday crash and we all bought puts Friday night." No, we didn't. I mean, I would like to. I surely wish I would have, but. We've got puts on everything that I manage one-to-one. But still, it just didn't look right on Friday. And I said, you know,
right.
let's just, in a couple of people's accounts, we got $1 million in cash. And I said, you know what? We can invest on Monday. If we miss it a little bit to the upside, we'll still be able to buy stuff because the volatility will be down. We'll still be able to buy stuff the same price. Let's just sit this one out, because if there's anything bad about this story, it's going to expand on the weekend. And here it is, you know, for the first time, it seems like it
Yeah,
is.
And that's the thing, you know, the weekend risk is a real risk. When the markets are closed for a day or two, you have options that are still decaying, you have volatilities that's expanding and contracting, but the whole market's not connected. And, you know, Chief, when I think about the Chinese debt, I also think about the Chinese currency and things that have been around in a real problem. In 2018, I believe it was the Chinese currency that sent the market in sort of this contagion around the world. We saw a real sell-off in a lot of major equity markets all around Chinese currency at the time. So there is this contagion, and what's happening in China does really affect global markets. So, you know, it's worth keeping an eye on. But at the same point, you know, it has been around. It's not surprising that it's in the news again. And, you know, I think about it sort of like inflation. We know inflation's around. We know that it's going to be a major news story. It just seems to be on the back burner right now to other stories that are out front.
Well, but it's really bizarre, though. I mean, these guys have got to the point. What I've read this weekend, Mike, and you probably read more than me. You've got more sources with Luckbox and stuff. But I'm going to say that somehow it reaches the point where as long as people keep lending you more money, everybody's cool with it. No matter what it is, whether it's your gambling habit, as long as the wife keeps lending you money, the gambling guy doesn't care about it. So one day you can't pay and your wife says, I'm not giving you any more dough, then it's a problem. Right? I mean, up until then, even though anybody from the outside would say, you know, this stone is rolling downhill or at some point it's going to hit the bottom of the hill, nobody cares until it actually does. I mean, now we're talking about these guys are, I'm going to say if the published number is $300 billion in debt for this Evergrande, I'm going to say it's, what, twice that at minimum? That's just me. I mean, because we never get the real number. And it's surely not going to be less. So one day some bank's going to say, guess what, no more. Just like one of these days, Congress is going to say, you know what, federal debt ceiling, we're not going any higher. But you know, I mean, it could actually happen someday. You know, where people, all of a sudden.
It absolutely could, yes.
And then all of a sudden the next day, the chances we got, you know, we got $50 coming in and we got $100 going out. What do we do if we can't borrow to 50? Who do we screw? Right? But now all of a sudden these guys are, I mean, how exactly do you work your way through $300 billion worth of real estate? I mean, I couldn't believe, I mean, you probably, you know, you were a little younger at the time. Well, we both were younger at the time. It was a dumb statement. But 2007, 2008, when you got all these mortgage loans all over the damn place, right? And, you know, and I've been to Europe a couple times, and Jan and I did some lecturing at Credit Anstalt. You know, isn't that a great name, Credit Anstalt? It just seems like a tough place, doesn't it? And we were at Dresdner Bank, and they had nothing but wealth there, and we could see the Deutsche Bank, when they were buying Dresdner Bank, was like right across the street. I mean, their tower was bigger than Dresdner. So you knew who was going to buy who, right, because their tower was bigger. Anyway, and you all of a sudden, at the 2008 crisis, they start listing all these banks that absolutely got annihilated by this mortgage debt. And there's like two or three banks in Germany nobody ever heard of. And somehow or another, they managed to find their way over here and get screwed in our mortgage crisis.
Right.
Because people will chase. I mean, there were people on Fast Money last week telling you to go invest in China like last Wednesday. You know, and in Goldman today, right next to this thing on CNBC, there's a thing, five stocks to buy in China today. I mean, would you put any money in the last 6 months or the last 5 years over in China, given the fact that what's happening in Alibaba, what the government's doing? Well, how could you possibly do that for one of your clients and have the phone ring and say, what are you doing?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head saying, you know, everything's fine as long as, you know, as long as the checks and balances kind of work out, even if it makes no financial sense. And when the music stops, that's when you have real problems. And it seems that could be going on right now. But, you know, going up into today, I bet this headline caught everyone really by surprise as being the forefront of what is kind of guiding these markets down. I would argue there's a lot of other things at play, and this might just be one cover story that's possible.
Well, you've got the Fed meeting. You've got inflation. They better hope that when he gets back up on the podium and starts talking about we finally achieved our 2%, he better hope the people are not armed with tomatoes and stuff, because for God's sake, I mean, all you have to do is walk around, I mean, and see anything. And I think the prices have gotten so high, Friday night, I mean, let's put it this way. I was going into, places that serve adult beverages before I was supposed to. Is that a fair statement, Mike? So that's a long time ago.
That's fair. I understand completely.
The hardest thing was getting that stamp on the back of the draft card. The card was easy, but the stamp was tough. Just saying. Anywho, but I mean, Friday night, I happened, it was raining, so I took one guy who takes his bike downtown that meets us for a beer once in a while. I said, look, sort of bike in the back of the Suburban, I'll take you home. It's going to pour in a second. So I did, and on the way back, I'm driving by, you know, a bunch of bars. And of course, I'm getting caught by every red light, so I look in the window. Mike, there's a place with one person in them on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. I mean, I think that this sticker shock and drinks and food and you name it is hitting everybody. I really do. I
don't know how it couldn't be hitting everybody, and there's no question about it. It's real, and we're all feeling it on a real scale. You know, the numbers come out how they come out, and you kind of scratch your head because you look around you and you can see you can see it happening everywhere. That's a really good example right there.
Well, I mean, and even you find yourself, I mean, I'm no one percenter. Everybody knows that. And actually don't even really want to be, Mike. I just want to take care of my clients and do the show and be comfortable and I'm happy. I just wish I was a little younger and could still play softball the way I like to play it. So that's the only thing that really bugs me, other than the stuff that I see happening to other people. But even Saturday night, I said, "Oh, where do you want to go? What do you feel like?" And she goes, "Hey, you know, let's grab some Italian." I said, "Where do you want to go?" And she goes, "Well, let's go to our regular place. We go to a place in New Lenox. It's a little bit of a kick from her place, but I don't mind drive out in a nice area." And she goes, "They're the only place that hasn't gone hog wild on the prices. At least we can go and have a decent dinner of pasta, and that costs you an arm and a leg."
I mean, right.
And you know, could Audrey and I, Audrey's had a good year. You know, we've had an okay year. You know, could I have afforded the $25 plate of pasta? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, "There, this stuff, you know, it's $17. Let's just go there. Plus, we like the people, and the people at the bar love us. So, you know, it's what I mean. You find yourself doing stuff like that, even if you don't. You know, even if you're, I don't need to go somewhere where I got to pay $25 for a plate of linguine.
Absolutely.
You know? But I also know why they're charging that, because everything in there, you know, what's the electric bill going to be 2 years from now with this new thing the governor just signed? Is it going to be double? Then what about the gas bill?
Sure. And you have prices rising, you know, throughout. So throughout the system, your price is rising. And that's just leading to a new form of spending habit. And if it continues, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to, you know, really get worse and worse. One place I've noticed it is in the ride industry, where, you know, you have Uber, Lyft, which sort of took over the scene of taxi cabs completely.
Yeah.
But now you have a scenario where these Ubers, at least in the city where I'm at, the prices are running crazily high.
They're like double the carry, aren't they? Some areas aren't they like
yeah,
double?
Yeah, compared to what they were.
Well, I mean, if you get a cab, they haven't gone up. If you can find one.
If you can find one, yeah. That's true. My wife just flew into the airport and she was able to get a cab back to the city for half the price that Uber would have
bought. Yeah, what we could do, I mean, it's not like I need to be in a new industry, especially with the market doing this. I have more than enough time with my own. Why don't we buy a couple of cab medallions?
And now's the time to buy them, no doubt about it.
What are they down to, like 25 grand or 20?
I don't know. I would imagine. I mean, I know they were down to 30 grand, and that was before things got really bad in the industry. So I haven't checked. It'd be interesting to check, but I would not be surprised if the medallions are down to $20,000.
All right, Mike, I got VIX 2591 up 506. We've seemed to have the 80 down spoos seem to be the bottom so far. We're only down, down 72 right now. There's going to be some buy the dippers are going to show up, I imagine. It seems like the policies of the Chinese government, if anything, are making things worse over there. We've got supply chain issues, and even though they're, you know, it seems like they can't get their stuff into the ports here fast enough, we still don't have enough stuff there's still parts of every store that's empty, that I go into. Is this VIX going to 30? Is it a sell at 25? Is the guy who bought the bazillion,
right,
the bazillion, 20 calls for November, he's gonna have a good day today?
yeah, he is.
You know what? I've read like two or three articles where people have said November is going to be a big problem. Well, today's a big problem. I mean, right now, I'm thinking the guy who did the spread where he bought the Novembers and sold the Octobers is going to get his butt kicked on that spread.
Most definitely. You know, anytime you have a downturn like this, a quick one, where your volatility spiked very quickly, a lot of that volatility is going to be pushed into the front month. So all the risk really is going to be in October rather than November. That's just the nature of how these VIX spikes work. And I would say today, if you're going to be watching the market, you got to keep VIX on your radar, because there's a possibility that we see VIX continue to rise with the market staying right around here, down 72, down 80, and we could see the VIX rising, you know, to over $8, say. It's very possible that volatility, things become more volatile without really the price changing. And I think that would be a really a negative signal if I were long stocks right now.
Well, you know, Mike, is you get little tells along the way, and you get so many of them, but once in a while you get one that kind of crosses your eye. I've been known to frequent with a group of guys, and one of the dudes works for a firm that is one of the big, you know, market makers on the floor. There's not many of them left, mm-hmm. right? And he was telling me 2-3 weeks ago, God, if we're just doing our regular trade and with our regular pricing, we keep getting short all these little puts out of the money, especially in Apple and other places. And he's one of the risk managers. He said, I've had to tell our guys, hey, raise your prices and buy some of this stuff back in. We don't want to be that. This is
right.
2-3 weeks ago. It was already starting to creep a little bit. You know, they're getting short too many November, December, January puts in some of these things. And he says, you know, they got their risk going, which, you know, obviously everybody has to have some risk assessment. But it comes to the point, well, who are those guys buying from? The four other guys like them? I mean, I guess there's still people, you know, if you listen to people. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you're so far out of the money, you say, okay, this is a solid 2.5 standard deviations away from anything that's possible. And in the realm of risk management, you say 2.5 standard deviations is more than acceptable. You're getting paid pennies on a dollar, though. We compare that often, you know, textbooks will compare it to standing in front of a steamroller picking up pennies. And that's what a lot of these small little puts sort of represent that are out of the money for big name companies. You're getting paid pennies on the dollar. It's really not a trade worth having, and your risk manager friend is right. Like, I would agree with him that the guys should be buying those back in. There's very little upside. There's a lot of downside if you get a move like today that sticks and maybe even gets worse on itself.
Well, I mean, Mike, some of this stuff, the reason why you think you want to sell them is one of the guys called me, and he had a bunch of, you know, I'll use the term Armageddon puts that were, you know, real far out of the money they had bought a few months ago. You know, if the spider is at 350, you might buy the 320s out to the end of the year. Because what happens is, as we're seeing today, if you get a day like today or two or three in a row, even though those puts are still pretty far out of the money, people come for them.
Right.
And you actually make way more money. The thing should have a five delta, but it actually, if the market starts to crap out, like I said, they might actually double. You know, even though, you know, see, you get more protection than you think you're going to, because you get the volatility going up in addition to the price going down. But so they had the December 320 puts, and I go, you got to get those things up. They're not doing you any good. You got to get up at least to like a 400s. I mean, you know, which would be, well, it was $40 away, but at least those will move. And by the way, if we go down more than 10%, those things will balloon, and you'll only lose, you know, 4% instead of 10. Plus, you protect the dollar for dollar after that. And so we moved. You know, guess what? These things are trading. Mind you, the Friday night the spider was 440. Guess what? The December, which is now, it's only 3 months out. Guess what? The 320 puts, which is a 35% move down. Guess what? They're trading.
I actually couldn't even put a price on it. I mean, we haven't moved down all that much, like you said. But we know the power of volatility, and a 5-point spike in volatility, significant, but by no means the level it can go to. Remember, 2008, we saw it at 80.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in March of 2020, it was really close to 80, 85 as well. So, I mean, you know, we're, what, at 26?
Yeah, and so, I would have guessed these things.
I wouldn't be surprised if the puts had doubled, like you said. I think, they're so far away, you can't imagine seeing them do much more than double.
Well, I would guess they would. If you had asked me if I was making a market on them, I'd have said 40-50. Well, that wouldn't have been a very good market. So they're $1.50, $1.51. This is Friday. I'm gonna bet you they open up today at 2.25.
Absolutely, and you know that's again the power of volatility. When you get an active market that, it's got to have that risk associated with it. So, you know, there's got to be a little fear here, you know, if we just get bought back up today and slowly inch our way up and we don't see any down move, we probably won't see too much action. But if, you know, we see another sell-off down towards 80 or even below that, I wouldn't be surprised if it would be an even higher price move than that on those puts.
Well, yeah, and you look at them and you say, okay, I'd love to sell these things, because I'm going to say, even though I'm kind of bearish, there's a 95% chance, 98% chance these things end up out of the money. Yet, do I really want to sell something where I can only make a dime a week and use up?
I don't.
use up my. Mike, thank you very much, buddy. If this keeps up, we might have to have you a guest appearance later in the week. But SP Futures down on 75, NASDAQ Futures down 257. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.